Hello, you are listening to The White Side. I'm your host, Rachel Telegraph. Welcome to the show.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of The White Side. I am your host, Rachel Pendergraft, and I just want to thank everyone for listening to the show this week and also for listening to KKKRadio.com, WhitePrideRadio.com, and WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Also, I want to remind everyone that we broadcast live video at WhitePrideTV.com Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. That's Central Standard Time. White Resistance News with myself and National Director of the Knights Party, Pastor Thomas Robb. Also at 7 a.m., that's an hour and a half earlier, 7 a.m. on Central Standard Time, is Wake Up America, a Monday through Friday daily Bible lesson, Bible study with Pastor Thomas Robb, myself, and local attorney here in the Harrison area, Jason Robb. Yes, that's Pastor Robb's son and my brother. So we bring you a Bible study and some commentary, just good old-fashioned Bible teaching and study for our white Christian brothers and sisters. And I'll say for those white brothers and sisters out there who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you might want to listen and perhaps get some new insight on the Bible and what Christianity can mean for you and your family, because we do recognize that many have turned their backs on the Christian faith because it has become watered down and is becoming represented by those who hate our faith and hate our race. And there's a lot of good news that we'd like to bring to you, and news about the white race and our covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not talking about those Jews over there in Israel. Well, anyway, back to the news. Donald Trump, here in just about a week and a half, is going to be making a trip to Minnesota. And the mayor of Minnesota, Betsy Hodges, she actually put a tweet out where she threatens Donald Trump. She said, "Donald Trump, do not go after Minnesota and our Somali population. Just don't." I don't know what she thinks she is going to accomplish with that. I know she, you know, in an election year, she's going to try to come out and appear as if she really has the backs of these Somali immigrants. She wants to come out very egalitarian. She wants to come out as if she's a really staunch defender of equality in her area, but she evidently doesn't care about the rights of white people. She doesn't care about the rights of Christian people in her area. So from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, it says, in a Thursday speech, the Republican presidential candidate suggested that Somali refugees have turned Minnesota into a hotbed for terror recruitment and frayed its social safety net. Trump's swipe dominated discussion after Friday's prayer at Ibrahim's mosque in Burnsville, Minnesota. Now, for the state Somali community, allegedly, Trump's remarks inspired outrage. It renewed calls to vote in November and plans to respond during the candidate's visit to the state. Public officials, including Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges, of course, like I said, she's fired back on social media, and she wants to come out and appear that she is the defender of the people in Minnesota. Quoting a 2015 Washington Times article, Trump said Minnesota's Somali refugees have high unemployment rates and represent a rich pool of potential recruiting targets for Islamist terror groups. And I think he makes a very valid point. We oftentimes hear so many liberal pundits and oftentimes people on in the right or conservative element also mimic these same sentiments that it isn't the Islamist radicals, it's not radicalized Muslims or Islamists that they are concerned about because, or that they are concerned about because most Muslims are just peaceful, law-abiding, good neighbors, good citizens. They don't have anything to do with this agenda of Islam. They don't have any pretensions as far as helping these individuals. They're just good old flag-waving, hot dog-eating, as long as it's not pork, hot dog-eating, going to see the baseball games, American citizens. And the fact is, the great threat of Islam in this country and in our Western sister nations of Europe isn't actually the radicals themselves. Yes, they do pose a danger. Who can say that their acts of terrorism against peaceful people is not something to be frightened of? But that's not really the long-term scare that I think people should really consider. The real threat comes from the so-called peaceful Muslims and their slow mobilization through their family networks in America and in our Western sister nations of Europe. Their slow mobilization and takeover street by street, neighborhood by neighborhood, and soon to be city by city, schools by school, as they grow their families, as they branch out, and slowly, it's called a peaceful takeover. That's where the real threat lies. The real threat does not come from an enemy whose face you know. The real threat does not come from a movement that you can name, such as ISIS or ISIL or any of that stuff. It doesn't come from that. Those are elements and targets. You know who they are for the most part. You know what their agenda is. It's to create terror in the hearts of people. It's to further their cause. But the real frightening aspect and what we really have to fear is the slow, so-called peaceful takeover of our schools, streets, and neighborhoods, one Muslim family at a time. And they know that. They know that's what their agenda is. They know that as they create a foothold in each community, and they pretty soon they can have their their mosques, or they'll have their meeting places. They might not have a mosque that people can identify just from the general public, but they'll have their mosques and they'll have their traditions and their calls to prayers and so forth, and there'll be a slow, so-called peaceful takeover. Now, what won't be peaceful is when they come into majority in an area, and then by the sheer lack of integrity of political leaders to do something about the problem, they are able to enforce their way into the local political element, and in places such as London or certain neighborhoods where they are allowed to operate Sharia law, and those Muslim communities are allowed to operate their communities and their family lives and legal and criminal codes under Sharia law. And that's frightening because they're doing that on a neighborhood by neighborhood basis in London, but their overall goal, even for the so-called peaceful Muslims, is to eventually enforce their law, their code, their culture, their set of beliefs, and their religion on everybody else in the world. And so, yes, the radicalized Muslims, certainly that's something to fear. The terrorism, their violent attitude. But the real long-term agenda of the eventual takeover of Western Christian civilization by Islamic religion and way of life, which, and of course, you know, they'll be battling the Jewish element also, who has that as their goal as well. So, you know, white Christians really kind of caught in between this war between Muslims and the war between Jews, and we're kind of caught in between because our people have lost this spirit of resistance. Our people don't know what it means to resist anymore, and they just want, you know, our people are for the most part a peaceful people. We want to get along with everyone. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to create any waves. We just, you know, our people just, you know, they want to go to work. They want to get their paycheck. They want to come home. They want to spend time with their family. They want to have a vacation, maybe a bass boat, maybe a little travel here and there. They just want to be left alone and live a peaceful life. And without really taking into consideration that both the Jewish element and the Islamic element both are battling over who is going to set the stage, who is going to dictate the future moral, legal, and cultural codes for America and our white Christian civilization. And I tell you that if you've ever read the Babylonian Talmud, which is the holy book of the Jews, or if you've ever read some of the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad and the teachings of Islam, neither one of them are anything that a decent white man or woman with any type of concept of morality or virtue would want to have as a legal, cultural, or moral code for their neighborhood, their city, their state, or their country. And so people really need to beware that they don't fall in this trap of thinking that the only concern is radicalized Muslims and that the peaceful, so-called peaceful ones, well, that's just all they are. They're peaceful and, hey, they wave the flag like everybody else. Now when Donald Trump made the point of mentioning the high unemployment rates and the fact that there was a rich pool of potential recruiting targets for Islamist terror groups in Minnesota, he said the state is having tremendous problems. Well, CARA, Muslim Congress, CARA is a Muslim group, and Muslim Congressman Keith Ellison, he claims the Somalis are helping local economies. But here's what you'll find the truth. The Star Tribune had a little nugget of truth in their article. They said a recent report comparing various groups in the state points a stark picture of the challenges Somali Minnesotans face. Well, first off, they're not Minnesotans, but anyway, said Susan Brower, the state demographer. Almost 60% live under the poverty line, compared with 11% of all Minnesota. Unemployment of adults in the labor force stands at 20%, the highest of any group in the state. So here we have, on one end, we have liberals in the state of Minnesota, those who are all for, you know, the so-called love and brotherhood and peaceful Muslims and let them come in and take over our communities because they're so great and loving and so forth, saying that, oh, they're a blessing to the state. They improve our cultural understanding. They're a rich addition to the state, and they help the economy. And the fact is that's a bold-faced lie. They're a drain on a society. The food and cash assistance. Minnesota has seen an increase in food and cash assistance among the Somali Muslim population. since 2010. And so they're not a blessing to the community. And it's not because they're poor. It's because they have a different culture. They have a different legal mentality as far as the legal codes that they would like to see. But aside from that, just from the economic standpoint, they're not helping the state of Minnesota in a state that already has, people would consider it to be serious unemployment rate. They're only adding to the burden of the rest of the taxpayers in Minnesota. Now, on one hand, like I said, your liberals will say, oh, they're such a blessing. They bring all of these new ideas and so forth. They're helping. But the stark contrast is when they want to get the money, when the charitable groups want to get money for the Somalis and so forth, then they, instead of saying, oh, they're such a blessing to the economy, now they turn right around and say, oh, well, these poor people, they really need our help. We need to, you know, be Christian about it and neighbor helping neighbor and open up your hearts and your minds and your wallets and your purses and your bank accounts and help these poor, underprivileged Somali refugees who want nothing more than to be a part of the American dream. And aren't you just a hateful, bigoted, racist person if you don't give them every last dime you've got? Or vote so the government can take someone else's dime and give it to them. That's the way it works. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back with more news on the white side.
We want to remind all of our listeners that the 2016 Knights Party National Conference is coming up fast on Labor Day weekend, September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. The location is the Christian Revival Center on the SOTC campus and retreat at Harrison, Arkansas, in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Stay in a nearby hotel, camp here on the spacious grounds, showers are available, or reserve a bunk in the men's or women's cabin for $10 per night. First come, first serve. So reserve your bunk early. Come for political speeches by concerned white men and women from around the country, entertainment by Stephen Bonney and Charity and Shelby of the White Nationalist Band Heritage Connection. There will be literature and souvenir tables, delicious food catered by like-minded white people, nature hikes, white history lessons, stories and crafts for kids, workshops, and plenty of fellowship with folks from around the nation. We'll end Sunday evening with a special banquet, followed by a solemn and dignified Christian proselyting. Go to www.kkk.com to register. You can also call 870-427-3414 during regular office hours for more information, or to register and email the Knights at nationaloffice@theknightsparty.com. Remember, this is scheduled for Labor Day weekend, September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and this is a family-friendly event designed with every member of the family in mind. Register today.
So we're back from the break, and we seem to have struck a theme for the show today, and that is beware of the Muslims in your community. Well, this posted by a resettlement watch group. A Twin Falls, Idaho Breitbart reporter confirms little girl raped, father saw the video. Now, they say here the story doesn't fit the narrative that the No Borders Left has developed over the years of refugee children, Muslim children in this case, and I agree completely. They want to show all these children as just being helpless victims that have been rescued from war-torn countries, and somehow we have to bring them here to the United States. Well, the major media, including Fox News, has been totally silent about this story, but the Resettlement Watch Group reached out to local citizens and also contact with Breitbart News. Here is Lee Stranahan and his report. He says in a shocking and exclusive interview The father of a 5-year-old girl that was allegedly raped by refugee children reveals that he did in fact watch 30 seconds of a video of the assault taken by one of the three boys charged with the crime. So here's the deal. There was a 5-year-old little girl. She was raped outside of a Twin Falls, Idaho detention center. This is one of the detention centers where they have put Muslim refugees until they can seed them out into your neighborhoods and in your communities. And three boys from that detention center raped a 5-year-old little girl. The city officials have refused to really talk about it, but one of the boys actually, one of the rapists, actually took a video of it. He thought it was so exciting, so the words don't even come to mind. The sickening depravity of this little Muslim boy, 10 years old, who had the audacity to actually film this sexual assault on this little girl. Now, the father of the little girl says that he watched part of the video, 30 seconds of the video. The police did confiscate the video camera and the video, and they have charged three boys with the crime, and the father did watch a little bit of, you know, whatever his stomach could tolerate, but he wanted to see the evidence for himself. New allegations against the 10-year-old boy who was involved in court on last Thursday afternoon alleges that the boy both anally and orally penetrated the 5-year-old girl in addition to urinating on her. The father also attests occurred in the video clip. And again, this is not being reported on national TV. People are not being made aware of the danger of these callous attitudes towards families and women and girls by these Muslim so-called refugees, both the ones that are being brought into the United States and the ones in that are being brought into Europe in ever-increasing numbers. Now, there is a refugee program there in Twin Falls, and part of the reason that is there is because of Chobani yogurt. How many of you eat Chobani yogurt or buy Chobani yogurt? Chobani yogurt is owned by a Muslim nationalist who is working behind the scenes to bring in cheap immigrant labor into the area, and also instrumental, we are told, in the building of new mosques in the area in January of 2015. So there we have a horrific crime against a little girl not being talked about at all. And the real horrific thing is that these are not isolated cases, and there are non-government organizations oftentimes affiliated with so-called Christian, and I say so-called, they're in name only, Christian in name only, organizations who often are at the realm of getting these Muslims seated into your communities and your neighborhoods. Now, here is, I'm going to read a little bit to you from Linda Hartke, and she is saying that they need more money for 100,000 Muslim refugees that she excitingly says Obama promises for the next year. Now, we're being told by the Obama administration that we're more likely to expect 200,000 immigrants in the fiscal year of 2017, which actually begins in October of 2016. Now, this woman, Linda Hartke, she is with a resettlement contractor like Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. they give millions of dollars of you know, people who think they're doing the right thing. These people think they're helping the poor and the downtrodden and the refugees and you know, like I said, these little children and families that are just trying to make their way in the world, and they're in war-torn societies, and so they throw their money into the offering basket, and they throw their money, and they send their mail, their checks in, and they give their credit card numbers, and 90% of the funding of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, and you know, this is just one of many such organizations that are really misdirecting the Christian compassion that we have as a people, misdirecting it because we're nailing our own coffin. And the Christian compassion we need is for our people, not for infidels. Now, here's what she says. She says, time is ticking away to provide critical refugee funding. She says, the days left on the congressional calendar are numbered, and yet funding provisions to respond to the greatest humanitarian crisis of our lifetime have not been allocated. I would suggest that the greatest humanitarian crisis is the genocide of white people, but she doesn't see it that way. Her bleeding heart only looks towards infidels, those who would like to see the annihilation of the Christian faith, and white people subsequently. She says, Congress has from now until September to pass funding bills for fiscal year 2017 that ensure critical funding for refugee resettlement. However, the draft text cripples the U.S. refugee admissions program and reduces resources for refugees at a time when our commitment to serve uprooted men, women, and children is needed most. Well, and we all know that a majority of those refugees that are coming into Europe and the U.S. are men. So anyway, she says, with more displaced people today than ever before, funding for refugee programs cannot afford a spending cut. The United States has signaled commitment to resettle 100,000 refugees in fiscal year 2017, a mere fraction of the global need. Yet, the proposed funds would cap refugees' admissions at no more than 75,000. At least 25,000 vulnerable refugees will spend another long year without the life-saving protection they deserve. Now, she's not saying the government is only going to allow 75,000 refugees in. She's saying that the funding the government is going to give and the funding it would take to allow people in, it's only going to allow financially 75,000 in. She's not saying that that's all the government would just let in. She's just basically, she's trying to get people to be emotional. She wants them to, you know, tear up inside and write out that check so they can bring another Muslim family into the United States. And of course, I don't know how much she gets paid a year, but I'm sure there's quite a hefty fund, as most of the bureaucrats of these organizations are. Now, furthermore, she says, the funding cut fails to reflect the outpouring of support and welcome for refugees you all have demonstrated across the country. Yeah, I'm sure the family of that little five-year-old girl has really been demonstrating an outpouring of support and welcome for refugees. She continues, with over 75 years of experience resettling and providing integration support to refugees, we know there's ample community support to help 100,000 refugees rebuild their lives in the United States in fiscal year 17. And then she continues on with, please to call the congressional offices from now until Labor Day, and she wants her listeners and readers to pick up the phone, call their congressman, and ask them to please raise the funding and increase the funding so that more refugees can come into this great nation of ours. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to take her advice. I'm going to call my members of Congress, and I'm going to ask them and urge them to decrease the funding for the Office of Refugee Settlement and the Department of State's Migration and Refugee Assistance. Boy, that was a mouthful. Once again, let me say, that was the Office of Refugee Resettlement and the Department of State's Migration and Refugee Assistance account. And I am going to call and ask them to decrease the funding to these refugees that they are already going to allow into my country. Because it is not their country, it is my country. My ancestors built this country. My white foremothers and white forefathers gave their lives and built an incredible country with a magnificent constitutional document upholding the rights of white Christian men and women and white men and women of high moral character. And they did not intend for a bunch of renegade Muslim jihadists to come over here, flown over here by our own government and bleeding heart so-called Christian activists, so that they can increase and promote the genocide of my white brothers and sisters and my white children and grandchildren. I find their actions anything but Christian and totally reprehensible. They are in league with Satan. They are not in league with Christ. So we're out of time today, but that's what I'm going to do. They are going to be making a decision pretty quick in Congress. Now, I know people are going to say, hey, it doesn't do any good to call people. But I'll tell you that for every call a congressman's office gets, or a congresswoman's office, for every call they get, they know that that represents approximately another 200 people that just sit back on their hiney and don't call. So they know that phone calls represent other people who are like-minded. And after all, they're politicians and they want to get back in office again. So I'm going to call. I'm going to go back to KKK.com under the activist link at the top. I'm going to type in my state. Of course, I already know who my representatives and state senators and so forth are. But if you don't, I'm going to go back. I'm going to type in my state. I'm going to find out who the senators are in my state. And I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call their office and I'm going to ask them to decrease the fiscal year 2017 funding for the Office of Refugee Resettlement and the Department of State's Migration and Refugee Assistance, because we don't need one more infidel in this country. We've already got one too many. All right, well, that's the end of the show. I will talk to you again next week. Remember, if you are not on the white side, you are on the wrong side. Don't you dare, don't you